You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Welcome back to the 750. I am your ORG Ochoa. He is your 75, Mr. Two-time Super Bowl champion. I'm not sure if he won an Oscar on Sunday night. Tony Casillas. Tony, happy Tuesday to you, sir.
You know what? Happy Tuesday. Yeah, well, we haven't had a chance to talk about that, but I will give the Oscars an A+. And my gosh, when Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga were singing Shallow, all I was saying is that they need to get a room.
I don't think they need a room. I mean, they just need like a closet. I mean, that's really all they needed.
No disrespect for, you know, I think Bradley Cooper's dating a supermodel, but it just, the chemistry was, you know, you could cut it with a knife. And it wasn't uncomfortable. It's just, they didn't get an Academy Award. She didn't get one for Best Actress. They didn't get for Best Picture. But I tell you what, they got the Oscar for that night because, man, everyone bought into that chemistry.
It would really suck to be his girlfriend. You know what I mean? Like, it would really suck. That would be a low point. You know what I mean?
I don't know. You see, his girlfriend's pretty hot.
I mean, well, you know, she's got that going for her, certainly. But
anyways, it was. I thought it was great. I thought the no host worked out well. I thought it was it flowed pretty well. I don't know. I don't know what the official time was on the Oscars, but seemed a lot shorter than last year.
I had to watch it with a side eye. I was working on during the Alliance game, so we had that.
Oh, that's
going
right.
On. I had it on my iPad. I didn't get to watch it, you know, like I normally would have. But it did look cool. It did flow. I am a fan of no host in the sense of I don't need all the cheesy jokes. I don't need all the, you know, whatever. And that's all the host really gives us. And now I feel like it would be really hard to be a host because you can't, like, what are you going to make fun of? Like, you can't make fun of anybody.
Exactly right. The ultra sensitive society we live in now. It's not as funny as it has been in the past. But nevertheless, you know, I thought it was intriguing. As I told you, it's my wife's Super Bowl Sunday, so I found myself watching the pre Oscars with the fashion on the E Network and everything else. But I was dialed in. But I was a little disappointed. I thought the only thing I was disappointed in is Spike Lee's reaction for not winning an Oscar for the Black Klansman. I thought that was kind of distasteful. I thought he did the Grammy version of Kanye West, you know, when Kanye West and Taylor Swift won the Grammy Award and went up and wanted, you know, said she didn't deserve it. But anyway, what do I know?
I mean, when you said Spike Lee, I thought you were going to dunk on my Spurs because that was a really low point. The Spurs lost to the Knicks, which sucks enough.
I'm sorry. And I guess maybe that was kind of the roundabout way or the unintentional way of poking at you, but no, I did not think of, did not realize that until you brought it up. Sorry to hear about that.
It's unfortunate. You know, that's basketball these days. I've got a two team Tony this year. Just you know, so I have a rooting interest deep into the playoffs. I'm a Bucks guy this season. I love me some Giannis. So, you know, I got that going for me. But there's a lot to discuss with the Cowboys this week. And last time we spoke, we had the Robert Kraft news surface.
So oh, boy.
We'll see if anything jumps up while we're recording today.
I'm gonna go out on a limb right now and say I don't think anything is going to outbreak news that.
I definitely think.
I'm going to say that right now.
So I agree with you. It would be very, very difficult for something to be bigger than that here right now. It is Combine Week, which I'm sure brings up some fun memories for you. What's your favorite memory associated with the Combine?
You know, I really don't. It really wasn't a fun memory for me, honestly. I'm going to be honest with you. You know, for me, it was, you know, I was an established player. I kind of knew where I was going to, what was trending. You know, I was fortunate back in that draft, I was going to be in the top five picks. And, you know, I really didn't need to go. Obviously, it was a lot different back then than there is now. And now it's just, you know, football is 24/7. It's on the NFL network. And, you know, it's very intriguing. So it wasn't really like it is now. But I really, I found it really, yeah, I guess maybe because I'm kind of an anxious person at nature and I kind of worry. Mm-hmm. But for me, it really wasn't that enjoyable because I knew the only way I could either my stock would rise or it would lower it. And I really didn't do a whole lot of, I didn't run the 40. So I found it where it was a little intimidating because you are kind of like cattle. They bring you in there. They undress you literally, look at your measurements, they poke you, they prod you, they find everything. They found out everything about you. They give you the Wonderlic test. So I really didn't find it very amusing. I think now it's obviously changed because I didn't really have anything to gain, but I thought I maybe had something to lose if I didn't do all the, you know, all the different, you know, measurables. Mm-hmm. But I honestly, RJ, it wasn't very an enjoyable time of my life.
Interesting. I mean, it doesn't sound fun to get poked and prodded. And you're right. I mean, the combine has certainly changed. I don't know if it's even fun now. It's just, I think when I use the word fun, I think it's epic. I mean, it's this big thing. It's the NFL universe coming together in one spot. That's a cool thing.
Well, here's the difference now. That now it's there's a way you train for the combine.
Right.
And, you know, when I was, you know, when I was being, you know, going through the air, being evaluated and going to combine and pro day, we didn't have these training centers where that's all we focus on running the 40, the vertical, the bench press, mm-hmm. all these, the shuttle and everything else, or even the personality test. We weren't coached up. We didn't have, there wasn't an academy where you went and did this. You basically just showed up, hopefully you're in shape, and you ran. And now it's certainly different because that's what make it or break it. You know, this is what the combine represents, you know, especially the guys that really, really need to gain from it. And that's what they prepare for. As soon as you know this, as soon as they leave campus, as soon as the season's over, bam, 4 weeks, guys are getting ready for the combine and training and we're learning how to run faster, to run the drills and everything else. And, you know, that helps them more. But that's even more pressure on you because if you don't, it was like the kid from Oklahoma last year.
The tackle.
Orlando Brown.
Yeah, Orlando Brown. Yeah.
Yeah, junior. He really hurt himself because he did the bench press 14 times right. And he's an offensive lineman and weighs 350. So there's a certain way that you can not do well and really showcase that, look, you're not really putting in the effort because now you know that there's ways to train for it. But yeah, as I said, it was very, to me, it was a high anxiety and very stressful. Maybe I just compartmentalized and handled it differently.
That is really interesting because you're right. There are combine superstars. There are dudes who just focus on this. You might not necessarily be a great football player.
Feel like Tarzan, play like Jane.
Yeah, exactly. You might not be a great football player, but you're a great athlete. You know what I mean? We see big time moments like Byron Jones a couple years ago, you know, sets the long jump record and, you know, things like that really take you to a whole different level. It is interesting at the very least how guys train for the combine. So a very stressful week for a lot of young men out in Indianapolis, you know. Did you have a shrimp cocktail that week?
No, I think I had, that was a problem when I went to the combine. I think I was overweight, but again, I didn't, my agent told me not to run. He said, Tony, you're going to be one of the top five picks in the draft. And, so I didn't really want to do anything. I didn't want to take any chances of, you know, pulling a muscle. Mm-hmm. You know, I felt like I probably should have did better in the bench press. You bench press 225 and for how many reps. And I think I did maybe 24 or 23 or something like that. And I felt like, because it's like you hyperventilate. It's like anything that you do. It's like when you come on the air, when you're doing anything that creates a lot of, you know, you really put yourself under the gun and you want to be good and you want to be perfect. But then you start thinking about it and then you have a tendency to not do as well because it doesn't become natural. That's kind of what I felt like. And I think that's the thing about it, RJ, to try to, if you give advice that I could give to these guys in the combine, is just let it be natural. You know, let your body, you know, let your dad, it's like playing football. You know, you can't really, because that's the thing about it. I think the GMs and the coaches, they see through that. So they want to see guys that are relaxed. You know, yes, it's a lot of pressure. You got all these scouts and all eyes on you. And so they're talking about that. I mean, who doesn't want to be the fastest, the strongest, and the smartest? So every one of those guys are invited, want to be.
It is, you're right. I mean, and every year they offer up who can be the fastest and whatever. And those things get all the pop, you know, the sexier results. The 40-yard dash has definitely come a long way. I think technology's had a lot to do with that, because I think the way they superimpose guys now, you know, when they show, you know, this year they'll show, I don't know, whoever running against Christian McCaffrey or whatever, and it's really just kind of cool to see how that stacks up.
Oh, I do like that. Yeah, that's pretty, yeah.
So that's always fun to see. And then they'll give, like you mentioned, Orlando Brown, they'll give him a 10-second or a 3-second head start, you know what I mean? He'll still lose or whatever. Things like that
exactly.
Are really interesting. So that's cool. But before we dive deeper into the combine, Tony, we have a smorgasbord of just topics to hit. So it's kind of like a sushi bar. You pick what you want. The first thing, Tyler Eifert has been connected to the Cowboys. We've talked about this a lot. Obviously, his brother-in-law, Zach Martin, they played together at Notre Dame. They were roommates in South Bend, Indiana. And somebody else who played at Notre Dame, Tony, is Jalen Smith. They did not cross over in terms of their time there. But Jalen, we haven't really seen a Cowboy do this. We don't really have one of those, or at least we didn't until now. On Monday night, Jalen tweeted the most serious thing you can drop. He tweeted the eyes emoji at Tyler Eifert. Looks like he's recruiting him a little bit. I'm a fan of this. I think it's cool. I think it's really cool that Jalen is using his status to try to woo somebody.
Yeah, and I read that on Blogging the Boys and did a nice job of the. And I know you're, you know, we talked about this last week about Tyler Eifert, his possibility coming here. And I've always been proponent of getting alumni that you, your would-be school that you went to. And, you know, certainly the Cowboys could use a tight end. And I think the only thing I'd be cautious by is that his inability. And we talked about that last week about him staying healthy. But if he is healthy, again, it's not going to cost you a whole lot. So I had no problem. I mean, we all liked it. I mean, when I played, I liked to have a lot of Sooners around, and I did. I played with two or three. But, I think that, you know, you're tweeting out and you want, you know, Tyler to wave to you. And I think Jalen Smith is very, you know, on Twitter or whatever you want to – or Shade or whatever the case may be. But I think there's a – it's – and I think Jalen Smith, look at his career also and what he had to go through. And, you know, I don't think Tyler's, you know, his injury is was as bad as obviously sure. Jalen Smith's, but still, he's still got to fight through some adversity because of we don't know how his foot's going. And I think it'll be fine, but I have no problem. I think it's kind of cool to try to get as many Notre Dame, Irish on the team.
That's a really great point, though, about the injury. And I don't know. I don't know if Jalen and Tyler are talking, you know, behind the public forum that is Twitter. But Jalen can sell that point. Look, dude, I was injured beyond measure. This team believed in me. They gave me a chance. They have this world-class facility. I mean, on and on and on and on. Different reasons, you know, of that mindset. That's a great point. Again, you got Jalen. You got Zach Martin. Lots of Irish connections. Is that a real thing? I mean, you mentioned that you liked playing with Sooners. Is it a real thing that you maybe not necessarily college teammates or whatever, but that you call your buddies, you call friends and say, but what's it like in Minnesota?
Yeah, I think it's not as big as a deal as people may think it is, but I think it is. And, you know, especially during the college season, whenever USC's playing Notre Dame and, you know, who the rivalry may be that week. And, you know, it's a brotherhood. And I think, you know, you kind of stick up for each other. You're a alum from that school. It's like, come on, you know, play with us. We're building something similar to recruiting. And, you know, whether that comes to fruition, I don't know. But I think ultimately, once you get there, it's all about keeping your job. And, you know, I'm not going to do my job different just because – you know, Tyler Eifert's on the team or Zach Martin, you know, I got a job to do, but I think, yeah, there's a certain amount of camaraderie that goes along with someone being on the team that went to your same school.
I could see that. I can see wanting familiarity and just wanting a piece of advice. So good for Jalen being that guy, because you need that guy. You need that front man.
In Notre Dame, they have that kind of the same, I would say, kind of the same perspective of maybe the Cowboys or even the New England Patriots. Probably more for the Cowboys because we haven't won in so many years. But you either love them or hate them. It's kind of like Notre Dame.
Yeah.
And you look at last year in the playoffs. So maybe they have that that kind of polarization that you that some teams have. But, yeah, I think it's cool.
Yeah, and you have this larger-than-life, I think, experience. If you play in South Bend, Indiana, you know what I mean?
You ever been there, by the way?
I've never been.
It's a cool place. I've been there a couple times when I got inducted to the College Football Hall of Fame. It used to be in South Bend, mm-hmm. but just to go to Notre Dame, it's a place of, you know, it's a ritual. I mean, it's the touchdown Jesus and what it represents, Newt Rockne to everything that goes along with it. To me, that's that's the quintessential of a historical institution, that being Notre Dame, especially their football program.
That's a great point. If you had to equate the Cowboys, if you had to equate one school, one college football program, there's a handful of contenders. I think some people would make the case for Ohio State. Some people would make the case for Oklahoma. Some people, I think, would make the case for Miami. I think USC has a case. But Notre Dame is a solid one, certainly. But, okay, so Tyler was in the news. Mm-hmm. Also in the news, Tony, I Zapruder filmed something on Twitter on Monday night, and it got a fair bit of interaction. And I know right. I know you've seen this. So I saw this photo of Earl Thomas training, mm-hmm. And he was using one of those masks. Have you ever used one of those?
You know, I've seen him before, but no, I don't. I thought maybe it was because he had allergies or something.
If that's the case, I need to get one.
Exactly, I wore that outside.
But so he's wearing a mask.
Some type of advice.
It's maybe he's I don't know. Hopefully it's not a Laramie Tunsil thing. But so he's wearing a mask while he's training, and on the side of it you can see a number 9, and obviously it's a 29. He's number 29. He's wearing a hood and you can't see the front half. But the important part here, Tony, is if you look at the number, the font that it's printed in looks an awful lot like the Cowboys font that their jersey numbers are. Now, I'm not trying to say anything. All I'm saying is if you're asking, okay, what are you trying to say, RJ? The wildest possibility here, and we're having fun with this, is that Earl Thomas wants to be a Cowboy, is planning on being a Cowboy, and so he's training, and so he said, okay, this is my official training mask, I'm going to put my number on here, I'm going to be a Cowboy, I'm going to put the Cowboys number on there, number 29, whatever, and that's that. Is that what I'm saying is actually happening? No, but it's possible. I mean, would that shock you, given the way Earl Thomas has behaved?
And I love how you, not spin things, but you see these, I don't know, this illusion, and I'm going to go with it. I don't know
Tell me if that's not the same font.
Yeah, it's pretty distinct. I will give you that. And we all know that, Earl has said the last 3 years, certainly the last 2 years, wants to be a Cowboy, and I understand all that. And it kind of segues into, us talking about, all these free agents and what the Cowboys need to do. And the only thing that I not negative, but the only thing I would just be guarded against on the Cowboys is, how much does he have left? I mean, mm-hmm. He's 29 years old. I mean, he's fast. I mean, his official 40 time was 4.43. I don't know if that's speaking of combine. I don't know if that was officially when he came out as a rookie. So I think he still has some gasoline, his gas in the tank. But it's still going to come down to how much money does the Cowboys want to pay him, and how much does Earl Thomas lack of money does he want to accept if he wants to be here? And I think it would be a good marriage. I really do. We talked about the Chris Richard connection when he was the defensive coordinator, defensive back coach in Seattle. So Everything, the writing on the wall is in place, RJ, without a doubt. But a lot of things have to happen financially for this thing to happen.
You're right, but you mentioned it. I mean, you've got the Chris Richard connection, and now he's not your defensive coordinator in title, but he's de facto, you know, your defensive coordinator, you know, with the help of Rod Marinelli, whatever, however you want to categorize that. He's a huge voice in the secondary. He's a huge voice in the locker room as a whole. The Cowboys have a need at the position. He loves the Cowboys. You know, is Dallas close to Austin? No, but it's a lot closer than Seattle. You know what I mean? You get to play for your home state, your favorite team growing up. I mean, it makes so much sense, but that's why I'm scared that it's not going to happen.
Well, here's the thing about it. You know, you always, it's like it's how people, someone that it's teasing you. It's like you're on a diet and someone puts a piece of chocolate cake or if I'm giving up caffeine or alcohol for Lent and someone sticks a big cold Budweiser or adult beverage right now, I'm like, don't tease me like that.
Yeah.
So, it's a different analogy, but the point is that, you know, I feel if you'd ask me right now, and we'll look how this plays out when free agency opens up next month, I'll give it a 50-50 chance right now. And that's pretty, maybe 60-40, maybe 55. I don't know. It all depends on what the run is going to be and the demand for someone like Earl Thomas.
I agree with you. I don't know where I would put percentages. I think all I know is that I would put it at the very least 51-49, with 51 being that he joins the Cowboys. I think there's
you can have majority ownership. Yeah,
I think there's a majority chance it happens. I don't know how large that majority is, but at the very least, it's 51%. That's all I feel confident in right now. But
let me ask you this, and since we're talking about Earl Thomas, what do you think? What would he mean to the Dallas Cowboys defense? And I'm thinking in terms of takeaways, because he's a good ball hawk. We know that. And to me, that's the value that he gives you. Not only is he a great, smart guy, he can tackle, but he's also a ball hawk. So the value, that's what you got to look at. What will he bring to this defense?
Well, I think that he certainly brings takeaways, and you need that. You need takeaways, especially if you want to be this team that salts games away and runs the ball and drains the clock and moves the chains. You got to get takeaways. The big key to the Cowboys' success in 2014 and 2016 was that happened. They got lots of takeaways. I think also, and this isn't, you can't really measure this like you can takeaways. I think what he brings is he's a badass, and he's a man. He's a grown man, and I don't mean this to slight anybody that's on the Cowboys.
He's a leader.
Now. Yeah.
And leads on the field.
But he just, you know, you look at, and again, I'm not trying to speak ill of anybody, but you look at Chidobe Awuzie, for example. You look at Jordan Lewis, Xavier Woods. They're not the man that Earl Thomas is, and they're not as old. I mean, that's part of it.
Yeah, they're young. They're not there yet.
Exactly. I mean, Earl Thomas, there are people in life.
They might not ever be there.
Right. I don't know if you agree with this, but there are people in life that are just good at things. Everybody knew that guy in high school that was just really good at whatever, you know, that guy that just always, you know, didn't really do anything and it just worked out for him. And I'm
most likely to succeed and all that.
Exactly. Yeah. And Earl, I mean, he just has this special characteristic, special quality about him. I mean, think about it. The contest between him and the Cowboys in week 3 was so epic, and there was all this storyline. What happens? The guy gets 2 interceptions. And they're not even, you know, him doing something special. They're weird bounces of the ball, whatever. He's just a person, I really believe, that greatness kind of flocks to. And I want that. I want that on my team.
Yeah, it just seemed like to me there was like this divine intervention there. Like, he needs to be on the Cowboys. And I think everything you just mentioned, I agree with. And I think the only thing, again, I don't know Earl Thomas. I know he's kind of parlaying this, and maybe he's looking for – he's a smart dude. I think he understands the more calculated the leverage and everything else and around other teams. And I'm sure he wants to up the ante. But I mean, for him, hey, you're in Texas. You got a chance to, as you mentioned earlier about the facilities and play with, you know, on a team that is hopefully closer than a than far, you know, closer than a lot, you know, farther away. So you have a chance to make an impact. There's no state income tax here. There's a lot of things that you could hang your hat on. You live in Austin, you know, you don't have to, you can move here. So you don't have to move out of state for the off season. So there's a lot of things you got to weigh in, whether you want to, you know, what money is going to be out there for you and your demand. And those are the things you have to really, really kind of measure and see if that fits your, you know, fits your comfort zone.
It will be fun. By the way, Tony, E.T., Earl Thomas, and T.E., Tyler Eifert. So, I mean, those are pretty important letters over the next couple weeks.
We will see.
Yeah. So, before we get into Stephen Jones's comments on Tuesday, another just thing that popped up in the social media stratosphere. On Monday, David Irving took to Instagram a couple of times. The first time he posted a photo of himself, it looks like, I don't know where, it's kind of a black and white photo, and the caption reads, "Does it look like I care? No. Good. God has always been with me, and I've been in much worse situations. Whatever the situation may be, I will be all right. Hashtag blessed." Then, Monday evening, he posted another photo. I'm sure he got some responses to the first one, and he said, "I'm in the NFL because I'm great at what I do. I'm not in the NFL because I'm an Eagle Scout or the perfect model citizen. I didn't put on a mask or kiss ass to be where I am. I'm here on natural ability. This is God's plan, not mine. Trust me, I'm adjusting to it as well. Once I step on the field and start performing, then we have a problem. So does anyone have anything to say about my play?" And on this photo, Tony, he got some comments, and somebody said, "Please stop, you're embarrassing yourself, yada, yada, yada." And David Irving responded and said, "You can't tell someone they're embarrassing themselves if they don't actually feel embarrassed. So that's not my problem. I don't care who does and doesn't have this opportunity. This isn't your life. Go take advantage of your own opportunities, blah, blah, blah." And he goes on to say, "I failed a drug test because I smoked weed, LOL. Nobody forced me to smoke, LOL. I'm very accountable of my actions. I'm also very opinionated. You have the right to comment. I have the right to say." And then he said, he told that guy where he could go, basically. David Irving.
Yeah, I've read a lot of that. I saw some of the Instagram posts, and I'm like, David, you're not doing yourself any favors by commenting and posting this. You know, the problem is, David, is that you haven't been on the football field. It has nothing to do with your play, because the Cowboys are giving you how many chances to display that, and yet you still, for some reason, find a way not to stay on the field. Yeah, I'll give you that. You're opinionated. There's a platform for it. So there's 32 other teams and there are players that do the same thing, but some of them find a way to do the right things and what you're asked, accountability. So while you want to have that type of attitude, to me it sounds like you're a little bitter and you're mad at yourself because you made your bed. Now you have to lay in it, and now you have to be accountable for your mistakes. And if you're not willing to do that, then there's not going to be other teams like the Cowboys that gave you 2-3 chances to give you an opportunity to play. Maybe some team will, because yes, you are talented. But the bottom line, you can't do things right enough to stay on the field. And with that, there's no trust.
It's an unfortunate situation. I think we all want the best for David in his life. And I didn't want to spend too much time on this because it's been made obvious that he won't be back with the Cowboys next season. But as he has spent his time here, it is certainly pertinent. My last thoughts on this, Tony, is I live my life by a motto. I don't think we've ever discussed this on the 750, so I'm kind of excited about this. I have a rule that I call the purple pants rule. The purple pants rule is very simple. If you have a job and your job tells you, "Hey, Tony, we'll give you all this money, whatever, you know, work for us, etc." We have a rule. You cannot wear purple pants to work on Wednesdays. And you look at that, you say, "Well, that's pretty stupid. That's a stupid rule." But it's a rule nonetheless. And you sign a contract and you say, "I will not do that." And then you wear purple pants to work on Wednesdays. Who's the idiot here? I mean, is it the rule maker for making a dumb rule? Or is it you for disobeying it when you agreed not to?
Yeah, I totally agree with you. You know, basically, that's, you know, whatever, there's a policy and those are the rules of where you work, your employer, then that's what you do. You're supposed to do.
Yeah.
And if you're going to continue to, you know, I'm sorry, but David, right now it's, you know, pot, marijuana's legal in 4 or 5 states in the United States or whatever you want to look at it there. But it's not, you're being paid a lot of money and being given the opportunity to do something that you love doing, but this is a manual. This is an employee manual handbook.
Yep.
And this is what you're not supposed to do. And as long as you want to continue to do that, son, you're not going to be in a National Football League.
Yeah. I mean, I certainly understand he has his own feelings on you know, that recreational use. And no one's saying don't feel that way. You know, as you mentioned, Tony, it's certainly legal in a few states in the United States. And fight that fight. You know what I mean? If you want to see it, you know, legalized, I know one of your teammates, Mark Stepnoski, fights that fight. And so do that. But as you mentioned, within the confines of that job, if you want to play in the NFL, that's a rule. And you can agree with it or disagree with it. But if you sign a contract that says that you will adhere to it, you have to. That's just the way it goes.
And it just shows that it doesn't seem like it's you know, that important to him. And I know Randy Gregory has fought through that. And look, it's, you know, I hope the guy gets on track. I really do. I wish him well. But unfortunately, it's not going to be here with the Dallas Cowboys.
That is the truth of it. So, last things on the menu here on our first 750 of the week, Tony. Stephen Jones spoke with reporters at the NFL Combine on Tuesday in Indianapolis. I wonder, how many shrimp cocktails do you think he'll eat? Because I had one when I was there, and I'm sure you've been there. I think we talked about it. That
family, how many days are they going to be there? They're today's Tuesday, and the combine's over what, Sunday or Monday? I mean, it seems like it goes on for a couple weeks, but you know, I think he'll have a lot of shrimp cocktails and probably have a couple of adult beverages also.
So all kinds of cocktails floating
around. Oh, yeah, exactly. Okay. Not shrimp.
Well, the shrimp ones at St. Elmo's will put hair on your chest. Maybe the other cocktails they're having will as well.
Oh, you know what? That's a tremendous place. And I know you went there with your father back during the season. And, yes, so people have never been there. If you're ever there, that should be a bucket list place to eat.
I don't really like horseradish in general.
I love that sauce. Whatever they it's, isn't that a great mixture?
I mean, like, that's what I'm saying. When I got there, they were telling us horseradish, and I was like, oh, but, you know, I mean, I wanted to eat it in its authentic, you know, form. And
exactly.
Man, it is no joke. Okay, so Stephen Jones, first thing he said, Tony, they have made a contract offer to DeMarcus Lawrence. This isn't shocking, I don't think, but it is worth noting that they have made their move. So now it's on DeMarcus. There have been conflicting reports, but the last we heard was that they do not plan to franchise tag him. Steven did say that they could effectively. They have until March 5th to get a long-term contract done. If they don't, I think it's likely the Cowboys tag him just to buy time to get a long-term deal done.
I'm curious how much that first offer was. You know, you didn't hear any comments from the, you know, Lawrence party camp, but, you know, it's a beginning. I think that I think the Cowboys understand that the strategy, if you just need time to sort things out and see what what they're, you know, talking about as far as negotiating, but, at least that's, you know, that's good faith in business to make an initial offer. But obviously no comment from their camp, as I mentioned, but it's a great start because I think this has got to be top of the agenda to get him signed a long-term deal.
You mentioned how much it could be. I think it's safe to assume that it's north of $20 million a year because the tag amount for DeMarcus would be $20.5 million this year. So if you're DeMarcus, you're saying, well, that's the floor of what we're talking about. I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if it's 21 million, 21 and a half.
I'm going to say it's probably 18 million right now, probably maybe a 5-year deal. I'm going to say that right now. Now he wants probably between 20 and 25 million, probably for 5 years or 6 years, or, you know, the thing that they're looking for is a guaranteed money. Mm-hmm. So let's say he was franchised for 3 or 4 more years. So you do the math on that. I think that's kind of where in line that the Cowboys, maybe a 7-year, you know, extended out for the salary cap. But I'm thinking it's probably starting around 18 million. I think they'll get close. We'll see. Here's what I think. I think it's going to be between 20 and 25 million. I would say he wants to. I think the Cowboys will probably, their max will go 21 million a year. That's a hell of a lot of money.
It will be a lot of money. It will be interesting to see how much is guaranteed. Khalil Mack had 90 million guaranteed, with 60 of it being at the signing. So that was the first thing that we learned. There were a lot of things dropped from Stephen Jones. Calvin Watkins of The Athletic tweeted out that Stephen also intimated Sean Lee's return, but there's a possibility that he won't return for the same base salary of $7 million.
Hello. So, really?
Yeah, I mean, I think the Cowboys are saying, look, Sean, we kind of want you back, bro, but not at $7 million. And we talked about this a few weeks ago, how the idea when fans say, oh, I think he'll take less money, that idea is dumb. Don't ever be that person that says anybody would take less money. Although, I mean, I know I just said it was dumb, but maybe Sean is at a point where, you know, look, man, I've made my cheese. It's a lot of, I don't want to move, you know. I enjoy this. I mean, you know, maybe they put some incentives in his contract to make up for whatever adjustments they make. I believe this, Tony. If Sean Lee's playing football in 2019, I believe it's for the Dallas Cowboys.
I don't know. I don't underestimate someone that you think. Then again, as we just mentioned, you think he'll stay here for, I don't know, whatever the Cowboys decide to pay him. And I think he's probably going to think that, look, hey, I can always come back and coach for the Cowboys. I mean, a lot of guys have left and came back. Mm-hmm. So depends on how his body feels, and depends on what the market is for Sean Lee. Will someone out there pay him half of that $7 million to play, taking a flyer that Sean Lee, a healthy Sean Lee, will be a pretty damn good football player? So that's the risk that you have. You know, maybe pay him a one-year deal, go somewhere else, maybe pay him $3.5 million, maybe more incentives. But I don't think he's going to get anything close to that to stay in Dallas, because it just, they're not going to, the willingness for them to keep him here and for $3 million. I think the market will be more out there for him, because another team will say, look, we need a good linebacker. We need someone that can come in. And if he's healthy, you know, we'll sign a 1 or 2 year deal.
I think that's well said. It will be interesting, certainly, to see what the status of Sean Lee is next season. Something else, there were, again, a lot of things. This was a pretty sizable, discussion from Stephen Jones on Tuesday out in Indianapolis. Stephen Jones also said that the Cowboys, Tony, they want to get a deal done with Dak Prescott this offseason. Look at that. That's going to upset a lot of people.
Well, I mean, I don't know who it's going to upset. I think people are going to understand that, you know, I'm sure there's some Dak haters out there, and there's some people out there that probably think that Dak is the quarterback of the future. But I think you have to look at the logistics part of it and the business of it, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're going to extend a contract for a quarterback, I mean, look around in the National Football League, the guys that are getting paid that, you know, that – I mean, they pretty legit quarterbacks, but you know, if this is a guy you're gonna count on, the guy that made Tony Romo disposable because of his health and his situation that 1 year, then you have to pay the man. And I'd be interested to see how all that unfolds. But he's the franchise quarterback, and franchise quarterbacks get paid because they are the face of the franchise.
Yeah, I think, you know, that's the mature way to look at it, Tony. People just don't want to accept this. Dak is going to get paid. And
I don't understand that. I mean, it's like a lot of those people that you don't like Dak, probably the same people that didn't really buy into Tony Romo.
Yeah.
So then what do you expect the business? What do you expect the team to do? Do you expect him to just not extend him and let him, you know, go and just, you know, 1 year contract? And, you know, the quarterbacks are going to get paid. They're the max cap guy that you got to give the money to. It's always been like that.
Well, Tony, you don't understand. These people, they have a plan, okay? Their plan is let Dak walk because he's trash, and then we'll just draft Tua. Boom. Problem solved. Championship. Whoa, let's go. Like, that's the world that these people...
And he's going to be a number one. He's going to be a number one draft pick. You know, he's going to be a first-round draft pick. You're going to take in the first round, and, you know, you're back to square one. I mean, what... just makes no sense. I mean, that's the business aspect of, and people like that just got to understand and you know, Google what it takes to put a franchise together and a quarterback. Yeah. Because that's and look at all the statistics. And I think that we do a lot of that. We, you know, we're on here, and when they're doing, you know, we're criticizing, and whenever he does good things, we're throwing props at him. But look at all the stats around, you know, the other quarterbacks in the National Football League. And he measures up pretty good with some of the ones who are getting paid big time.
It's these are the people, Tony, that if you picked them up Chick-fil-A, he said, "Hey man, I got you lunch." They'd say, "You got me the medium fries? Are you serious? You know, why didn't you spring for the large? You know
what? Exactly. Why didn't you spend that other $2 on the? Why didn't you get me the combo, the large combo?"
Yeah, you put pickles on this? Are you serious? You want me to eat this?
I wanted a burger. I didn't want chicken.
Yeah, Tony, come on, man. So Stephen Jones also mentioned the Cowboys kind of flirted with the idea of Allen Hurns. Obviously, Allen coming off the horrible injury in the wild card game against the Seahawks. The Cowboys do have until March 13th to pick up his $4 million option. I don't know what they do with Allen Hurns. I mean, you know, you look at it, they've got obviously Amari Cooper, Michael Gallup, Cole Beasley's still kind of a question mark. Whether they draft a slot receiver remains to be seen. I think for now, this one is just kind of wait and see. It depends, you know, how they feel about him.
I think that's going to be probably the decision that they make. You know, for me is, you know, what is Allen Hurns? He's coming back off that awful injury. What do we see the first year? Did we see someone that could be a huge difference maker? Mm-hmm. Do we see someone that's not better than who we have now? Michael Gallup is a number two receiver. You don't know what you're going to do with Cole Beasley. I mean, there's a lot of things out there. I'm going to go on the record and say they're probably not going to bring him back because they're willing to bring him back for $4 million. I mean, does he mean that much getting that 1 year look at him? I mean, does he justify bringing him back and picking up that $4 million salary for next year?
That one I'm the least confident in. I'm confident they'll get DeMarcus done. I'm confident they'll get Dak done. Allen just kind of feels like, you know, residual, you know, deals to worry about.
We can go out and get another Allen Hurn somewhere for less money.
That's the reality. That's the cold reality of the NFL. And
exactly.
And in a more cold way, you can go get a cheaper version of that, mm-hmm. and one that's not coming off of a devastating injury in early January. The last thing, Tony, last sort of Stephen Jones big time thing for us to chew on. This is a tweet directly from John Machota from the Dallas Morning News, a quote of Stephen Jones. "We've got it budgeted that we're going to pay Zeke a significant contract at some point. We certainly saw what Gurley got paid, and we know that's probably where it starts, and we'll go from there." Tony, there is an argument to be made against paying running backs. We talked about that last week. You know, it's not the hardest thing in the world to find running backs. And by that, I mean serviceable running backs. You look at the runners in the NFL, you can always hope to find your version of Alvin Kamara late in the draft. David Johnson was a later draft pick. But it's hard to find a player like Zeke. So, Todd Gurley money, you down? Or you want to see more?
I have no problem with Todd Gurley money. I just hope he plays, you know, better in the postseason play and better later on in the season, which to this day I can't figure out what they were thinking about not using the whole Todd Gurley kind of vaporized in the postseason. But that's another thing. I think you got to pay someone like Zeke, who's meant so much to this franchise, who he's been the workhorse, whether it's running the ball, whether it's catching the football. He's electric. I mean, he's that guy besides a quarterback that you have to account for because he does so many things. He gives you extends, you know, plays, extends, you know, after contact. He does so many intangible things that you got to create, that creates value. So I have no problem with him getting paid Todd Gurley money. But if anyone's going to get paid that type of money, it's got to be Zeke Elliott.
I agree with you. For what it's worth, Todd Gurley's contract was a four-year, $60 million deal that had $45 million in guarantees with a $20 million signing bonus. You know, of the guys, and I think we mentioned this a few weeks ago, the guys we're talking about here, and, you know, we didn't even discuss Amari Cooper and Byron Jones. Their contracts would be issues too. But even if you want to count Amari and Byron Jones and then DeMarcus Lawrence and Dak Prescott and then Zeke, the best player at their position is Zeke. Zeke is a better running back than any of those guys are at their jobs.
More proven than any of the other guys, I think, since he's been more consistent since he's been here. And I think, you know, DeMarcus Lawrence, you know, the last couple of years, I think he really, really just came on and said, look, you know, you can trust me, and has played his ass off. And then Dak, at certain times, you're like, what are you throwing to? You're throwing to Ghost, and then, you know, back it up with a great play. So without a doubt, I think the guy that, if you said right now, needs to be paid and deserves it, be Zeke Elliott, without a doubt. I totally agree with you, big guy.
Well, that's a good way to get out of here, because, you know, anytime anyone agrees with me, they're a genius. So I think you're a genius, Tony.
Yeah, well, thank you very much. First time anybody's ever called me a genius.
We'll be back later this week. Maybe, Tony, we'll have some more Combine stories. Who knows what we're in for. Thanks for listening, everybody. We hope you have a good one. This was the 750.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.